I thank the Lord this morning for being my Savior. I love serving Him, and I'm glad to be His child. I'm so thankful for His wonderful salvation. I'd like to put a little algebra on the board this morning. So we'd like to start out with the explanation of what I've written on the board is I wrote C equals C. If you put a value in there, say a 5, maybe C equals 5. When C equals C, 5 equals 5. 5 equals 5 every time, doesn't it? Doesn't it? Well, we're going to plug in C as circumstances. Circumstances. And if you have circumstances in life, and we all do, it will always equal circumstances. But if you put circumstances, and I put the next equation is C plus J equals M, we're going to plug in C as your circumstances, plus J is Jesus, equals M, a miracle. It'll happen every time. So I want to read to you a little bit from a book called The Persecutor by, I think I'm saying it incorrectly, but Sergei Kordakov. He was a young man who was a Russian communist, and he was top of the line. He had been born with a family that he was an orphan. He ended up being in boarding houses, so to speak, and from a young child he longed to excel, and he was an excellent athlete in every way, and he was an excellent communist. He was really good at that. They trained him well, and he knew he studied with the best, and he was a good communist. So I want to say that right off. But there was a hungering in his soul that only the Lord could take care of, and he didn't know what he was hungering for. And as he would, his job many times was to beat Christians. That was his job. And a young man, and I'm not saying this happened in the 30s or 40s. I'm going to say I think he was born in 1950, something like that, 50 or 51. But he had a desire. The Lord started dealing with him. So if you read the book, and I'm not even going to try to explain the whole book. You just need to read it for yourself. But the Lord started dealing with him, and he was peeling out pages of notebooks that people had written down Bible verses. And he was throwing them in the fire. And do you know, he started reading them as he started throwing them in the fire. And the Lord started dealing with him with just a few words. And he would be up all night thinking about those words that had been written down that he tried to throw away and to exonerate, to get rid of completely. But the Lord started dealing with him. And he had such a longing for something more than what the communist government could give him. And he started seeing through no longer rose-colored glasses, and he saw the cruelty of the government and the political powers, and he became very out of love with them, so to speak. Unenamored, I guess you might say. And at one time, he was in the middle of beating an old woman. He was hitting her with a baton on the head. And as he was getting ready to strike her on the head, the little old lady was praying, "Lord, please help him to see you and the love that you have for him." She wasn't praying for herself. And something grabbed his hand. And he said it was a might that he had never felt before, because he was an excellent athlete. He could take care of whoever his enemy was. And it hurt his hand. And he turned around, and nobody was there. And he ran from the room crying. And he said that was the second time in his life that he had ever cried, because the Lord was chasing after him. And he wanted more for his life. He wanted God in his life. So he decided he was going to escape. So he was a radio specialist, transmitter, whatever, on this ship. And it was getting near Canada. And he knew that they were in Canadian waters. And he knew he had just a fragment of time to escape off that ship. So they were on the ship, and they were in the middle of a storm, of all things. And he was like, I am several miles out from shore in the middle of a storm. I don't know if I can make it. But the misery I feel, I am not returning to Russia. I know I am not returning to Russia. There is no way. So while the ship was going up a crest, he was at the back of the ship. And when they came to the well of that crest, he jumped ship. And he was in the water for 5 hours, and it was extremely cold. So his physical abilities had got him almost to shore, and he was so exhausted, and the fog came in, and he didn't know where he was going. So he decided, I'm going to pray to this God, even though I don't know how to pray. I need help. And the Lord helped him. He was able to get to shore. He climbed a 200-foot cliff, fell down a ravine, and suffered a lot of lacerations that caused a lot of blood loss. And his clothes were ripped all apart, and he landed or fell into a yard. And a woman was looking out her window and saw him, and they were able to bring him to safety. And so when they started interrogating him, the Canadian officials, and he says, I'm from Russia. I don't want to go back. I'm here. And they kept him in a prison, and he was perfectly fine. Keep me in a prison. I'm not going back to Russia. And they started plugging in the information. How long were you out at sea? 5 hours. I came off the ship September 1971. So this is not really as far back as you would think. But 1971, he had jumped the ship, and they said, you were in the water for how long? So they started calculating the temperature of the water, his exposure to the water, his physical strength. And what they come up with was this, and I would like to read that to you. They were really interested in his ability to survive that. So that's what they were saying. It says, Kordakov, we have checked your story very carefully from start to finish. We have put all the factors into a computer specially programmed to make an analysis. We have put in the water temperature, the direction and strength of the wind, the severity of the storm, the distance from the ship to shore, the height of the waves, even your physical strength. And our scientists have tested all this on the computers, and the computer analysis is that your swim and survival were impossible. This is the conclusion of our computer. Is there anything at all that you have failed to tell us about that night? I thought for a moment and said, the only thing I left out is that I prayed to God very much. He left and came back a few days later. Sergey, he said, you'll be interested to know that when all the factors were fed into the computer, including your prayer to God, the computer reported that your swim and survival were possible. We believe your story. I was amazed. How could a computer know about God? There was a difference, wasn't it? He plugged his circumstances and he added Jesus, and he come up with a miracle. That's the difference. And I want you to know, whatever circumstance you're in, I want you to be encouraged to put Jesus with it so that you can experience your miracle. We have many examples in the Bible, and I want to look into them. I want you to go with me to John, the 9th chapter. Many times we're just willing to settle for that first statement of the C equals C. Many times we have circumstances. We have things that are in our lives, and we just are willing to equate that as it's just life. This is just the way it is. This is just how it's always going to be. But I want to encourage you to understand the power of God. I want you to know that when you plug Jesus in with those circumstances, you'll have a miracle. Every time. Every time. John, the 9th chapter, it says, and as Jesus passed by, and I've really loved to know how many times that, just that phrase, as Jesus passed by. When Jesus passes by, things will be different. And you notice how many times their lives were changed because this man passed by. He saw a man which was blind from his birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Do you know, we have things that we're born with that we had no control over that. We didn't have any strength to change our circumstance. But Jesus gave an answer here. Jesus answered and said, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Do you realize that every circumstance that is adverse that you face, the Lord had in mind for there to be a miracle there? And it says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. But we have the rest of the chapter, or most of that chapter, they start slicing and dicing this. They start trying to analyze this. They start saying his parents must have lied. He must have lied. He must not have been who he said he was. He really must not have been blind. Or is this another imposter in his place? Did he really get healed? And you know what? They were unwilling to accept the miracle that the Lord did. But that man, when you plug in Jesus into his circumstances, he came out with a miracle. He was seeing. He was no longer blind. His life changed forever. Well, let's go on to Luke, the 19th chapter. Let's talk about another man whose life changed. Luke chapter 19, verse 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Once again, we have Jesus passing through. Things just are different when Jesus passes through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. What a wonderful thing. This man was not able to see for the people. Do you know sometimes you can't see Jesus because of people? People get in the way. But he came to a place of a higher spectator view. He went to a higher ground because he wanted to see Jesus. And do you know, when Jesus came to his house, he had a miracle. His circumstances plugged in Jesus, and he had his miracle. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. It was very plain that this man was, he was a chief among the publicans. He was crooked. I always imagined that he was a little skinny man that was probably had greasy hair, and he had soft hands because he didn't have to do any hard work because he was a cheater. And Jesus went to his house. And his life changed forever. He experienced his miracle. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. He had a proper heart response. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, he knew something was different here. Jesus had passed his way, and his life was no longer going to be the same. He said, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, and he knew he had, I will restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house. Thank the Lord. His life was no longer a chief publican anymore. He was now a saved child of God. The salvation had come to his house because he had plugged in his miracle. And that was Jesus. And I thank the Lord for that. Let's go on to Matthew, the 9th chapter. Yet another miracle. This woman had suffered many years, it says, 12 years, 9 and 20, Matthew 9 and verse 20. And behold, a woman, which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years, came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she had said within herself, if I may but touch the garment, I shall be whole. She knew her circumstances. She understood the weakness in her body. And I have often wondered, how did she even make it to press to him? But she had a purpose in her heart. I'm going to plug in Jesus to my equation. Because if I can have Jesus in my equation, I can have my miracle. But Jesus turned him and said unto her, when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good faith. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. And it says in another place that he felt virtue leave him. And he knew something had happened. Because she had purposed in her heart, I've got to have that J in my equation. My circumstances have taken me down this road for 12 long years. And I need a turnaround because I'm losing life. I'm almost a dead woman as it is. And I need his help. And he had said, who touched me? And the disciples were saying, well, Jesus, there's this whole crowd of people and you're asking who touched you? They all want to touch you. And he's like, no. There was somebody that had a belief in me that touched me. Her belief, her desire to put Jesus in her equation made the difference. And sometimes we're too willing to accept that first one. It's a circumstance. I've always had it 12 years. I'll just have to go to my grave with it. No, put Jesus in your equation. It makes the difference. In Luke, the 8th chapter, and the 22nd verse, Luke 8 and 22. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, let us go over into the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. I have wondered about this, how that Jesus could sleep when I am sure that little ship was tossed. But he knew what was happening, and he rested in that. Nothing like a good old storm on a shaky little ship just to take a good old nap with. That's just Jesus, because he's in control of everything. It was soothing to him. It wasn't to the disciples. They said, we're in jeopardy. We're taking on water and we need some help. And they came to him and woke him saying, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. I've thought about that. He rebuked the wind and the waves. So we call it wind and waves, but there is a name. If he rebuked, he was talking to them and he said, stop it. Cease. Quit. No more. And the winds and the waves. I can't do that. But you know what? When I plug in Jesus, he can. Those circumstances can be waves and they can be wind. But I don't have to live with it because I've plugged in Jesus and he can come out with a calm miracle. And I thank the Lord for that. And I've thought of this. There's a little fragment of song that says, great things are in store for the child of the Lord, for you walk with the King of Kings. And each word that you say when you kneel down to pray will be carried on the back of angels' wings. When you walk with Jesus, you're going to do great things. And if you'll turn with me to Malachi, this is my final verse this morning. Malachi, the 3rd chapter and the 10th verse. And this is dealing with instruction into how we're supposed to handle our finances. It says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. But this is the part that the Lord wants us to hear. And prove me now herewith. Jesus can't do the miracle if you don't plug him in. Otherwise, you're going to have to settle for my C equals my C. My circumstances are going to go unchanged. But I'm going to have to learn to prove him. Lord, I need your help. Lord, I need you to work this out above and beyond. And look what it says. It says, prove me now herewith. saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Let me give you a miracle. Let me give you above and beyond anything you can ask or think. You know, when the Lord blesses, He does it that way. He doesn't do it in a real skimpy little fashion and little tiny piece of grace. He gives abundantly. But we have to plug Him in. If we're not willing to plug Him in, we're going to be left with the same old circumstances, the 12 years of weakness, the circumstantial evidence that just keeps going on in our mind that I'll just have to live with this. You don't. Ask the Lord to give you that miracle. I desire you pray for me.